While I'm getting ready here, please take a copy of God's Word and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting at verse 18. And then going through verse 25. This is the word of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The word of God. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, in your grace, please be in charge now, and please bring great glory to the triune God. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no greater and more glorious message than the cross of Christ. Someone has said, the cross dominates the New Testament. Someone else has said, the cross stands at the very center of our Christian lives. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, may we never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were three attitudes toward the cross of Christ in the Apostle Paul's day. There were three responses to the message of Christ crucified. It is foolishness. It is weakness. It is the power and wisdom of God. Those three approaches we will find present today. Some laugh or scoff at the cross. Some stumble at the cross. And some believe in the cross of Christ and experience the power and wisdom of God. Using 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25, we'll go over these three responses to the cross of Christ. Our points for this morning, quite simply, are the message of the cross, says Paul, is one, foolishness to the Gentiles, two, a stumbling block to the Jews, but three, the power and wisdom of God to those whom God calls to believe. Point one, foolishness or nonsense or absurdity to the Gentiles. Look with me at verses 18a and 23 for this first point. Verse 18a, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. By foolishness, Paul simply means the Gentiles see nothing in the cross of Christ. They don't see how it's able to do any good in one's life. The Bible teaches that the cross of Christ forgives sin by satisfying the justice of God. The Bible teaches that the cross of Christ and Christ's righteousness purchase eternal life. The Bible teaches that the cross of Christ and Christ's righteousness open the door to heaven. But the Gentiles scoff at those ideas of the cross. They respond, criminals die on crosses. The lowest of criminals die on crosses. No reputable person would be crucified. How can the cross of Christ take one to God? The Gentiles emphasize wisdom, and they see no wisdom in the cross. You recall the Old Testament story of the fall of Jericho. The children of Israel were to march around Jericho once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to march around Jericho 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. Then the people were to give a loud shout, whereupon the wall around Jericho would collapse. Some of the people of Jericho must have thought that plan of God foolish. How could marching and trumpeting and shouting defeat them? I can hear some of them mocking from the wall. Gentiles, says Paul, think the cross of Christ is foolish. They see nothing of value coming from the cross of Christ. But look at what Paul, on behalf of God, says about the wisdom of the world. Verses 20 and 21. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Verse 21. In the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him. Paul calls on 3 respected men of the world in his day to bear witness. The wise man, the scholar or the scribe, and the philosopher debater. He asks them one question. Through your wisdom, have you come to know God in a personal way? Do you have God in your life as the Savior you need? Is he your heavenly Father? Through your wisdom, have you found God? Their answer is no. No, their wisdom has been ineffective. It has not taken them to the Lord God. writes Paul, only one thing does: the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is foolishness to Gentiles, but verse 19, God will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent, he will frustrate. The last half of verse 21, God is pleased through the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. The wisdom of the world is not the means of knowing God. The cross of Christ is. And so, I want to ask, have you come to know the Lord God through the cross of Christ? Know that the cross of Christ opens the way to God. Have you received the crucified Christ as your Savior? One of the thieves who was put to death alongside of the Lord Jesus turned to the Lord Jesus before the thief died and put his faith in him as Savior. And he was told by the Lord Jesus, today you will be with me in paradise. Have you put your faith in the crucified Lord Jesus? Let me say one more thing here before we move on to point two. Because many people today look at the cross of Christ as foolishness, there is a real temptation to remove the cross from our witnessing and preaching. Talk about Jesus, but don't talk about the cross, his suffering for sin. Oh, talk about Jesus, but don't talk about sin and his death for sin. Keep those things out of it. How many Christians, how many churches today avoid the cross of Christ? We had a lady in our church. She is now with the Lord Jesus in heaven. But for years, she attended a church that never taught her, presented to her, the good news of Jesus Christ. She came to know Christ as her Savior from sin and made him the Lord of her life through a Christian organization, Christian Women's. After she embraced Christ, she went back to her church and said to her pastor, how come I have never heard this good news here? I've been part of this church for years. How come I've never heard of the cross of Christ? Why, we do not even have Bibles in the pews. How many today avoid the cross of Christ? But remember this, if we remove the cross from the gospel, we are removing the heart of the gospel. We are removing salvation. The Lord Jesus is far more than a profound teacher, more than a great example. He is also the crucified Christ. And verse 18 once again says, for the message of the cross to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Point two this morning is the message of the cross, says Paul, is a stumbling block to Jews. Notice verse 23 once more. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. The Jews, as many of you know, looked for a triumphant political deliverer. They expected a strong conqueror. When Jesus came, he went to the cross. He was crucified. He came under the divine curse. His cross was a stumbling block to the Jews. The cross of Christ was something the Jews could not get over. To them, the cross appeared to be failure. The cross appeared to be weakness. And how could such a display of weakness save anyone? I have read that crucifixion in the Lord Jesus' day was both a horrible death and a shameful death. In fact, it was illegal to crucify a Roman citizen. And crucifixion was never mentioned in polite society. The cross meant failure to the Jews. How could the cross save them or anyone? The Jews wanted to see physical strength. They were looking for power and great glory. And that is why we read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, these words. Matthew 16, 1. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. The Jews wanted to see Jesus do something spectacular, something dramatic. They wanted him to do something like bring fire from heaven or bread from heaven. That's it. Bring bread from heaven and feed us. If you would do that, then perhaps we would believe in you. But the cross? Go to the cross? No. Verse 22a, Jews demand miraculous signs. But the Jews in our Lord's day, and still today, did not understand the Old Testament scriptures, the Word of God. Once more, they looked for a Messiah who would come as a mighty conqueror and defeat all their physical opposition, all their political enemies. But the Old Testament teaches that he would come and suffer and die to defeat the spiritual enemies of his people. He would come first as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See this in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4, 5, and 6. Isaiah 53, starting with verse 4, about the Messiah. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Parentheses. What is the why of his coming? What is he about? Physical, earthly victory or success for us? No. Our sins, our transgressions, our spiritual healing. And so verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on the cross, the iniquity of us all. The Old Testament, first of all, presents a suffering, atoning Messiah who would save his people from their sins. The Jews did not understand that. Many today do not understand that, but that is the teaching of God's word. And so, my friends, I would like to ask you again, have you been to the cross of Christ? The cross of Christ saves one eternally from God's judgment. The cross of Christ takes one to the Lord God and heaven. Have you received the crucified Lord Jesus? You are not stumbling over the cross, are you? You are not halted by it, are you? Jews demand miraculous signs, but we preach Christ crucified. Verse 25, for the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Our last point this morning is the cross is the power and wisdom of God to those whom God calls to believe. Let me read verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 1 here. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. What can forgive sin? Justice and righteousness demand punishment. God cannot simply overlook sin. God will not overlook sin. And so what can forgive sin? What can remove guilt? What can deal with separation from God? What can cleanse a person from his or her offenses against God and reconcile that person to God and make that person a child of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified for his people. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross is the power and wisdom of God for this. The city of Corinth, I have read, was a morally polluted city. It was a city that was filled with every kind of wickedness and worldly evil. About the lowest accusation you could make against a person in Paul's day would be to call him a Corinthian. People would understand what you were saying and be insulted and get angry. How do you minister in a city like Corinth? What do you say to cleanse and change lives, to take people to God? Look, please, at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom. Verse 2. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul majored in the cross of Christ. Because the cross of Christ is the power of God unto salvation for every one who believes. It isn't the wisdom of the world that takes a person to God. It isn't some conqueror or political leader that does either. It's the crucified Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is the power and wisdom of God for salvation. Tony Evans, a black evangelical pastor who for many years has ministered in Dallas, Texas, tells the story about his parents that, oh, how they could argue. Oh, how they could battle one another. Oh, how they could fight. There was a man who worked with Tony's father who had a real interest in him, a real spiritual interest. And he would talk to Tony's father about the Lord Jesus. And he would pray for Tony's father. One day at work, by the grace of God, probably at lunch, Tony's father was led to accept Jesus as his savior from sin and make him the Lord of his life. And oh, how he changed. He would get up early in the morning before anyone else would be up. And he would go downstairs and he would sit at a table and he would read his Bible and he would pray. One day while he was doing that, he heard his wife coming down the stairs. And he cried out, "Oh Lord, please, not another fight. Not another battle. Oh Lord, please." She stood there and she said, "You've changed. You're different. You're not the man I've known for all these years. When I want to pick a fight, you just love me. I don't know what it is that you have, but whatever it is, I want it." And he led his wife to the cross of Christ. And the two of them went on to lead their children to the cross of Christ. My friends, I know a place where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted, blind eyes made to see. There's a wonder working power in the cross of Calvary. And so I ask, have you been to the cross of Christ? Have you received the crucified Lord Jesus and made him your savior from sin and the Lord of your life? The cross, someone has said, is a tremendous instrument of power. The cross is the power and wisdom of God for salvation. Once more from the Word of God. "But to those whom God has called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." We've looked at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25. The message of the cross. The cross is foolishness to the Gentiles. It is their wisdom, though, that is foolish in taking one to God. The cross is a stumbling block to the Jews. The Jews, however, do not understand the word of God. The cross is the power and wisdom of God to those whom God calls to believe. That is what God himself tells us in his word. And may that be what you have in your heart, the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have just told us that it's on the cross, through the cross, by the cross, that one becomes right with the triune God. You have called a number of us to the cross, and we so thank you that you have done that. We would pray that we would understand it even better, appreciate it even more, testify to it unashamedly, and live it out every day. But also, Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would call those who are here this morning, those who are part of this church, those in our families who are not in Christ, that you would call each one to the cross of Christ. In your mercy, in your grace, we ask you to call each one to the glory of the triune God. In Jesus' name, amen.